Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit to be indwelling within us today. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us when we come together and like Spirit and worship you and commune with you. Lord, I ask you help us throughout the services today. You provide me the words to speak, Lord, and now my words to glorify you. And let these words that you provide me to reflect you and to touch each of our hearts, Lord, that you may become attractive to us. Lord, just thank you and I praise you for your love and for what you do for us. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I have a story to tell you. As I was in school, going to college, so I tried to do what was right. It was just me and my father. And I thought I loved my father very much. But I was getting ready to graduate. And I really wanted something from my father to show me that he loved me. And I wanted this sports car. And I kept going by this dealership. And I kept telling my father, I said, Dad, there's this car that I seen. I really want it for my graduation gift. You see, my father was well off. He made good money. So there was no reason for him not being able to provide. Anyway, I thought so. But I just kept telling him, Dad, that sports car's still there. I see it. My dad just kept smiling. He just said, I know, son. Well, the time came for that big day. Went through graduation. I was so happy. I wanted to get through that graduation period. I felt like now I'm going to be on my own. I'm going to be free, individual, do my own thing. And then I'm going to have a sports car on top of it. I knew my dad was going to get me something, a gift for graduation. And so he took me aside and took me into his study. And he told me, he said, you know, son, I'm really proud of you for what you've done in your life. I'm proud of you for completing going to school. It was really hard on you because it was just you and I. And he goes and he says, I've got something for you. And I'm like, yes, this is it. This is it. I couldn't wait. And he says, but first I want you to know that I love you very much. And what I'm giving you is showing you how much I love you. Well, he came back, he got this box, and this box was wrapped up. And I'm thinking, I'm kind of confused. I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's got something in there that shows, like, for the sports car or something. I don't know. So I get the box, open up the box, rip it apart, you know, try to look in there. What do you think was inside that box? I opened up the box, and it was this Bible. And I'm sitting there, a Bible. Why did he give me a Bible? And all of a sudden, I get this anger comes through me, and I'm like, why did you give me this Bible? You know, it's like, I told you what I wanted. I wanted this sports car, but you had to give me this Bible. And I stood back and said, I don't want this Bible. I thought you loved me. He didn't say a word. So I just took off and just ran out of the room. And I didn't even look back. The day's gone. I didn't even contact my dad for a long time. I became pretty well successful. Had my own business. Had my family. Wife and a couple of kids. And everything, and I kept thinking about my dad and how I needed to get back with him because I had never had kept in contact with him, always wondered. Well, I was making arrangements to go back to see my dad, and before I could do that, I got word that he had passed away. Well, I was really saddened. And I was told that he left everything to me. All his belongings now are in my possession. So as I went back and got into the house, and this sadness and this regret just overwhelmed me, because I felt guilty for what I did. I was going through these things and stuff, and I came into the study where I last saw my dad, and I saw on the desk this Bible that he gave me. And so I became more sorrowful. It's like, what did I do? I was so selfish. I was so young. And I was going through the Bible and just looking at some of the verses. And all of a sudden, this envelope was, it's at the back of this Bible. I'm thinking, what in the world? It has the date of my graduation, and it says paid in full. So I open up this envelope, and I'm thinking, there's a key. It's the key to the sports car I wanted. My dad loved me so much. He gave me the Bible. And then the sports car, what I wanted. But I was too selfish for him to even tell me what he had. But he paid it in full. My dad, his love was paid in full. That story is an introduction of what the message is today. Because this boy turned to a man, found, so this is love. He found what his father's love was. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He paid for a penalty of sin through sacrificing himself on the cross. And you want to share with me, turn to 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. In other words, he redeemed us from the punishment of our sins. He paid the price for our sins, for dying on the cross. This gift that he gave, as this gift of the sports car that the father gave to his son. It's a gift. And let's go back to our scripture reading, to 1 John 4, 9, and 10. And I will read, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He was reconciling us back to the Father. And for us to gain God's favor through Jesus. By nothing that we have done, by everything that Jesus has done for us, because of God's love for us. He first loved us, my friends, just like the Father loved his Son. And that is the topic today, a topic that is one of the sweetest and greatest that could ever occupy the attention of our mortal thoughts. As we read in 1 John 4 about how God about how God's love was being shown toward us through Jesus. Don't you wish you could understand more about the love of God? Somehow, when we stand upon the threshold of the subject, we seem to be standing and overlooking a never-ending and fathomless horizon. God's love is indeed a divine mystery. We understand what has been done for us. We know that we have been redeemed. We realize that an escape has been made when there was no way of escape before. But yet, the question rings in our hearts, why did he die for me? We're overwhelmed when we try to find a reason for the self-sacrificing manifestation of his love for us. Do you see? Did you hear what I just said? Self-sacrificing. Showing his love through giving himself of his life. Do you know what it meant for Jesus to come down from heaven to live and die for us in this earth? After all, he was the creator, not a mere creature. He did not need to bow down to anyone. His law actually ruled the universe. It was his hand which hung the billions of stars, suns, and planets in place. Friends, we need to understand that Jesus was the creator. The Bible explains in many places that it was through Jesus that God made everything that was made in this entire world and the universe itself. We cannot appreciate the greatness of our God until we see the small fraction of space which our little world occupies in the great scheme of things. Giant telescopes reveal billions and billions of other worlds, much greater and more massive than our own. And all these worlds move in precise, orderly fashion, and they circulate through space. We're just a small speck of dust out in this big universe. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever realized that? We were talking earlier about sunsets, sunrises. When you see those things, do you appreciate God's creation more? Do you see how small that you really are in all the things he created? You know, yes, God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. No one star was out of place. Everything was in perfect orbit throughout the solar system and throughout the universe. This earth is a mere speck of dust in comparison with other created bodies. It could almost be overlooked. Yet, out of all the billions of systems which God made, this little earth became a prodigal. This one speck of cosmic dust became a rebel in God's wonderful plan. The whole Milky Way system obeyed, but this earth disobeyed. Billions of other stars and worlds moved at his bidding, but one renegade, tiny world defied the law of God. Someone might say, well, so what? Why? So what's the big deal about this little tiny earth rebelled against God? There were countless others who did not rebel and disobey. God would surely not miss this one tiny world if he would have destroyed it. But friends, he would have, and that's the wonderful part of this message today. He would have missed this one tiny world if he would have destroyed it. Amen. This same great God and creator not only was interested in one world, but in one single individual as well. Think of it. He could have blotted this little world out of existence. God could have simply destroyed this world and created 1,000 new worlds to take its place where the inhabitants would have been grateful and obedient. If you were in his place, what would you have done? Would you have just blotted out that imperfection? No, God did not. And as we read in John 3:16, and let's read it together, we know it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't blot us out because he loved this world. Not just loved the world, but he loved the inhabitants within. And what are the inhabitants? You. Me. But God so loved the world that he did not do that, friends. Instead, he came down and surrendered himself into their hands, into the hands of those rebels. It shows how he loved them freely. He loved them unconditionally. He loves you unconditionally. He loves me unconditionally. Can you understand why he stood weeping over Jerusalem on that special occasion? Why should Jesus weep for them? Had he not given them every opportunity to be saved? They would not listen to him. They did not want him to be their ruler. Surely now he could go back to his throne in heaven and forget about the people who would not accept him. But no, my friends, Jesus could not give up a single soul for whom there might be some ray of hope. He would go to the very limit to provide a way of escape. So he permitted himself to be taken by them and crucified by them. How could the Father look down upon that terrible scene? There were men unworthy to touch the hem of Christ's garments, beating and spitting the very Son of God. Angels must have hidden their faces at the horrible sight. Heaven must have been stilled at its music as this unthinkable attack was made upon the Son of God. Surely now he will leave them and go back to heaven and forget about this world. No, Jesus would not see one soul lost who would like to be saved. So we see him led from the hall of Pilate, weakened and beaten. We see him receive the heavy cross upon his bleeding shoulders. We hear the cries of hatred as they ascend while Jesus struggles toward Calvary. Even the earth shudders in horror at the sight. The Son hides his face from the unspeakable scene. My friends, nothing in this universe is stronger than love. Christ was God and God is love. It was love who fainted beneath the cross that day. It was love who prayed for his murderers. It was love who felt the thorny crown upon his brow. Listen, those hands that were stretched out and pierced that day were the same hands which had designed the universe. Those were the very hands which had begotten life in so many people as he trod the path on this earth. Why was he there now upon the cross of shame of humiliation? Oh, my friends, it was that unconditional love that we cannot understand, that we cannot comprehend. He did it for you, and he did it for me. His thoughts were not upon those other billions of worlds. He was dying for individuals. He was dying for just one soul. Even if that one soul would have been the only focus of his love, all men had forsaken him. Everyone had turned against him, and there was darkness around him. Now, surely he could come down from the cross and say, "That's enough." But you think no one could require him to carry through to that last bitter drink from the cup of shame. And on the contrary, it wasn't a requirement on the part of the Son of God. You see, he had volunteered for this assignment. He had come willing to bear this cross and to die this death. And even on the cross, he loved them still. And even on the cross, you were on his mind. He would die for them though they spit upon him and take his very life away. who make it possible for them to live through his sacrifice. If that dying thief had been the only soul in the entire world, Christ would have chosen to hang there. If you had been alone in accepting him, he would have come and passed through those experiences a pain for you. Do you think that's possible, friends? Do you think it's possible for him to come down just for you? Amen. And yes, indeed. Because that is what he did for one tiny world and for even one wretched, miserable soul. Yes, I'm overwhelmed over it myself because he would have done it just for me. But why? And how? My friend, love is the only answer. There is no possible explanation. Love unreturned, rejected, and spurned. Did it lessen his love for them because of what they did to him? No. What do you think it did to him, our Lord? It just broke his heart. That's what actually killed Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the spear thrust in his side or the nails in his hands and feet. Jesus died of a broken heart because of the sins of a world that would not receive him and that would not love him. Friends, every time you sin now, you add to that weight which crushed out his life upon the cross long ago. No doubt Jesus could look down through the ages. He could see all of us as we are this very day. He could see every sin that fills the life of individuals today. It was those sins which caused him to expire upon the cross. And every time we sin willfully, we crucify the Son of God afresh today. May God help us to confess our sins, to accept Jesus as our Savior, to have our sins washed away in the blood of Christ, so that they shall not stand against us. So we shall not share in the sin which killed him there upon the cross of Calvary, but accept for what he's done and to see that so this is love. Dear Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, for first loving us. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, for be willing and dying for us. And we thank you, Lord, for that gift of salvation that you have freely given us, that all we have to do is just accept it by faith. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we may share this with like-minded people. But help us, Lord, that we may share this outside of this building, that we may share it within our lives, and be thankful for what you've done for us and reflect that to others around us. And all these things we ask for thy will to be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.